Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. This is 1320 WILS. When today's most popular Wall Street Journal article is titled, What Couples Want to Know But Are Too Shy to Ask, well, that demands further investigation. Dr. Barry McCarthy, a Washington, D.C.-based psychologist and sex therapist, the author of 11 books, including one titled Enduring Desire, is a key source in this story. And he is now joining us to talk about long-term marriage and what happens to intimacy. Dr. McCarthy, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Okay, very glad to be here. Actually, my son used to live in Michigan, so there's a connection there.
I see. Well, certainly, usually it's nice today. It's raining, unfortunately. But now, at issue is what many long-term couples know, married or not, that things change. Desire and attraction can often fade. Is there a certain inevitability in this process, no matter who you are?
No, that's one of the big fantasies and mistakes. What's true is that sexual desire in ongoing relationships, and it isn't whether you're married or not, it's whether it's an ongoing serious relationship. It changes, but it doesn't always have to fade. That's one of those myths. One of the best pieces of information is people can be sexual in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Now, you say it doesn't fade, but the nature of the attraction, does that not change in a dramatic way over years?
It does change. And it basically, the way to think about it is the first 6 months to 2 years of a relationship is a kind of romantic love, passionate sex, idealization phase. The challenge after that is to find your couple's sexual style that allows you to feel intimate, to share pleasure, to be turned on by eroticism, and to feel bonded and sexually satisfied.
Now, look, the issue in the article that I brought up was the fact that communicating about sex is something that's very difficult for many couples to do, especially if it's something that's been off the table for possibly decades. How does that conversation begin, and what's the best way to really approach that?
What we tell people to do is the worst time to talk sex is in bed after a negative sexual experience. It brings out the worst in people. The best time to talk sex is the day before a sexual experience, on a walk, over the kitchen table, on the porch over a glass of wine, and where you're talking about what are the positive sexual requests, but also you're able to say, no, this doesn't work for me. But one of the things that I think that really intimidates most couples, including Lansing, Michigan couples, is the notion that you've got to be a highly erotic couple, and that the more you share fantasies, the more you play out erotic scenarios, that's the key to passionate sex, and that's absolutely wrong.
It's wrong in the sense that what is the key then?
It's the key of integrating this notion of feeling connected and intimate with taking emotional sexual risks and feeling erotic. It's allowing yourself to have your own sexual voice, but ultimately sex is a team sport. That you've got to think of your partner as both your intimate friend and your erotic friend.
What's the normal rate of intimacy, would you say, for a long-term couple?
Well, the average rate of American couples in terms of intercourse sex is having sex about 59 to 61 times a year, a little bit over once a week. What sex therapists believe is if you're sexual less than twice a month, that allows you to have a very vulnerable sexual relationship. And the operational definition of a non-sexual relationship is being sexual less than 10 times a year, in other words, less than once a month.
When an article like this is sitting boldly on top of the Wall Street Journal most popular list, I mean, what does that tell us?
Well, it tells us that there's more to life than just making money, that relationships count, that touch and sexuality count, and whether you're a multimillionaire or you're worried about finding a job, that one of the best resources in your life is having a partner where they feel that he or she has your back and where there really is. The key to keeping desire alive is sexual touch. It's not visual stimuli. It's not having the perfect body. It is the idea of valuing touch that is affectionate, that is sensual, that is playful, and is erotic non-intercourse.
Is it okay for a couple that maybe after many years of marriage to decide that sex just is not going to be part of the relationship?
Well, about one out of five American couples is non-sexual. Interestingly, two interesting facts. The one is the most common time that happens is not after 20 years of marriage. It's in the first 2 years of marriage. It's one of the major things that destabilizes the marriage and causes divorce. The other interesting fact is when couples stop being sexual, especially after age 50, it's always the man's decision. It's not a joint decision. It's not the woman's decision. He basically says, I don't function sexually like I did in my 20s. I take a Viagra, it doesn't bring me back magical erections, and I give up. And that's a mistake. There's really good science evidence that says that couples that maintain sexuality have better physical health, better mental health, and a better relationship. If they're going to give up sex, and that is something that is a choice, if they give up sex, the one thing I always tell them is don't give up affectionate touching.
When you see a couple, since you deal with couples in all kinds of levels, when you see them having emotional conflict and no physical connection, is it usually the emotional issues that lead to this lack of physical intimacy or vice versa?
It can be both. But again, what happens with men, because there's really good science about that. By the way, I know you, Lansing, is competitive with University of Michigan. But University of Michigan Medical School is one of the best sex places in the whole United States in terms of good research and good clinical work. But basically what happens with men is that they develop erection problems or ejaculatory inhibition, and they feel really frustrated, they feel embarrassed, and eventually they go up to avoiding.
And the only way around that, you're saying, is ultimately to sit down and talk and... I guess the issue is it's a known fact, obviously, between a couple. They know what the problems are.
They actually don't. They blame each other. They feel guilty about it. They're usually very frustrated and very embarrassed. And it is, in a non-dramatic way, non-accusatory way, it is really hard to talk with each other about missing the emotional and physical connection, about feeling this terrible sense of avoidance. And, you know, the key element, actually, is it energizes your bond and allows you to feel desired and desirable. And when that's missing, it's a big loss in people's lives.
I really
encourage people to maintain positive attitudes, positive experiences, and positive emotions about sex. Mm-hmm. And they've got to get away from this idea of seeing intercourse as the pass-fail test of sex.
Only 20 seconds left. If you were to draw a pie chart of a long-term relationship, how big of that pie would sex be?
It's 15 to 20% of a healthy relationship. The paradox, actually, is when they're in conflict or they're avoiding or they're fighting about fertility or affairs. It plays an inordinately powerful negative role, and it really drains the relationship.
Dr. Barry McCarthy, you can find him quoted in today's most popular Wall Street Journal article. Dr. McCarthy, thanks so much for your time. Enjoyed having you on.
Okay, thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what small businesses in Michigan really want. And that is next. I'm Michael Cohen, and you are listening to 1320 WILS.